next guest was one of those original guys in the Perry Belcher SEO Mastermind. And we've kept in touch all these years. He is an incredible brainiac. I mean, really, really smart guy. Does big agency stuff and has also built software and just released a book. I'm really, really proud of him. He's also sponsored SEO Rockstars in numerous years, and he has spoken at a lot of them. He was actually one of the guys that came at the very first SEO Rockstars. So Roger, I'm really happy to have you again. Take it away.
All right. So Dory, thank you for that nice intro. SEO Rockstars has always been one of my favorite events. We've definitely had some experiences at some of those events, and maybe I'll share some of those throughout this presentation. But for right now, let's kick off In Search of Wealth. And before we can actually get started, per my attorney, I am not an attorney. Nothing I say is to be considered legal advice. I'm not an accountant. Before adopting strategies from this presentation, it's best to consult a CPA to confirm they are right for you. And yes, I have to read this, I'm sorry. I am not a financial advisor. Nothing I say or present is to be considered as investment advice. Please consult your financial advisor before making any investments. This presentation was designed around my personal experience. Each person's situation is different. Please consider this when making decisions that will affect your unique personal financial situation. And with that, let's get started. What are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about what is wealth and why we should be talking about it. More importantly, what is the core reason people fail to build wealth? And why are marketers specifically so terrible at doing this? You're going to see down in the little right-hand corner my marketer mistake icon. That will pop up on slides here and there, where we'll dive in an extra layer deep to talk about how terrible marketers are at keeping the money that they make. If at any time you're watching this video and you need help or have a question, short of this exact moment live at SEO Rockstars, that is my personal cell phone number. It's at the bottom of each slide. And there's also a slide number. So if you have a question about a specific slide, you can text me and say, hey, Roger, what the heck are you talking about on slide 18? And I will be happy to text you back and set up a time to chat. All right. Why talk about wealth? Well, first off, money is the tool. And the more tools that we have in our arsenal, the more successful we are going to be. Prosperity opens up a whole new world of opportunities. And with the right understanding, I personally believe that anyone can achieve wealth. It doesn't matter if you're talking seven-figure wealth, eight-figure wealth, nine-figure wealth, or even six-figure wealth. Everybody's definition of wealth is slightly different. And really, why the heck not? What else would we be talking about at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Friday? So let's define wealth in the context of this presentation. I did say it's different for everyone. So they say some people tie wealth and happiness together. Some people who are flat broke say they feel rich with love. I'm happy for those people, but that's not me. For the sake of this presentation, we're talking about asset wealth. If you're looking for the rainbow and butterfly wealth and the hugs and kisses, that's really not what we're going to be talking about tonight. A couple marketer mistakes, which again, these can be broadly applied in many situations, but specifically for this event, we're talking marketers. Marketers like to tie wealth with revenue. That doesn't work. $1 million in annual revenue is awesome, but that does not make you a millionaire. I think Lisa said that in her presentation. I always love listening to Lisa speak. $1 million product launch does not make you a millionaire. You probably gave most of that back to affiliates or ad spend. I feel like Dory said that a couple times during this event. Or even worse, they're not talking about it at all. So if you're not thinking about wealth and you're not talking about wealth, you're probably not going to build wealth. I don't know if in, no, I guess the links weren't in GoToWebinar. So there are two worksheets that you can download. Now, take a screenshot. You don't absolutely need them. All of this is pretty simple and straightforward. I'll guide you through these worksheets later in the presentation. But these are up on my personal blog, the Wealth Worksheet and the Wealth Persona Worksheet. And I did them in a fashion so that they come with instructions so that you'll know how to do each of them. And no email needed per the rules of SEO Rockstars, which was what makes this one of my favorite events, being a no-pitch event. And I did want to tell you that this presentation that I'll be doing tonight is a little wordy by design. It is designed so that if you download the slides and you want to go through the exercises that are in it, you have all of the details you need, even without the recordings. The recordings will definitely help you though. So hi, my name is Roger Bryan. I am 42 years old. I live in Canton, Ohio. This is my amazing wife, Krista, and I've got all these windows popping up. I apologize. There we go. My wife is an attorney. She has a doctorate's degree, and she also owns two companies and employs over 60 people. That's going to be important later in this presentation. That is my amazing daughter, Claire, who's 2.5. She loved hanging out on the lake over the summer. And we have a net worth in excess of $10 million, which is why I am doing this presentation tonight. My personal wealth, where does it come from? I've been selling online since 1997. My primary skill has always been SEO with a little bit of direct response marketing mixed in. I've done over $500 million in online transactions with a focus in the nonprofit fundraising sector, healthcare, IT, mostly working with Microsoft partners, and in e-commerce. Today, my portfolio looks a little bit like this. Wastewater Pro is our septic e-commerce business. I have my personal blog, which I do consulting, growth consulting, and chief revenue officer work off of. I am the chief revenue officer for Aeration Septic, which is the number one local, the number one septic services company in the state of Ohio. I am the chief revenue officer at USA Precast, which is one of the top producers of commercial concrete in the state of Ohio and more regionally. The reason I mentioned both of those is I draw a salary plus commission from both. MedTuff is a medical device line that we're in the process of launching. We already have all the products. It's more of an Amazon brand because we're big e-commerce sellers. Those of you that are e-commerce sellers, you understand the importance of Amazon brands. Fresh Lemon Blue is our septic tank treatment product line. Block Capital is my hedge fund that was launched in 2017. I've made 52 investments through that instrument. Infusion is my digital marketing agency that I started in 2013. And K&R Company is our real estate holding company for residential properties. And we also have another one I just didn't have a logo for called Hyacin, which is the owner of the building that we are sitting in today, which is a 20,000 square foot building that we built for our e-commerce business that just opened up a few months ago. I also make money through publishing books. Dory mentioned my fifth book is ready to be released. There's been a lot of sidestepping through the pandemic on the right timing of that. And if you stick around to the end, I'll give you an email address where you can email me your name and address, and I'll send you a copy absolutely for free. And here's how our portfolio breaks down today. Privately held companies is a large chunk of that. Real estate, investments, i.e. Investments through retirement accounts, publicly traded companies. Collectibles, I own a very large book collection. I like to joke that I have two Lamborghinis sitting in my library, and I'd rather have the books than the car. We don't keep a lot of cash on hand. That's mostly for operational purposes. And then also private placements, which is where I've made a lot of my money over the years. I was a pre-IPO investor in GoDaddy, HubSpot, Teladoc, and a whole slew of other companies. And we can talk a little bit about that later if you like as well. One of the most important things to do before we get into like really the breadth of this presentation is understanding each of our purpose, your purpose and my purpose for being here. So why am I here? I set out to create a game plan for my daughter that helps her to make less mistakes than I did on her wealth journey. And that's really my primary focus and why I put so much time and energy into learning and teaching these things. I do want to give a caveat. When I talk about teaching, it's not necessarily from the internet or digital marketer or even marketer perspective. I teach at a local high school. I teach entrepreneurship there at Lake High School. I've taught classes at Kent State University for both sales and marketing. So when I talk about my students, and I have worked with coaching students, it's not just me sitting here talking about being a coach. I teach at all levels and thoroughly enjoy doing it. And like at the high school, I don't even get paid to do it. So it's just something that I love to do. I want to continue to improve my system. What I'm going to be talking about today is a system that you will be able to go through a process to help guide you on your wealth creation journey. And I want to share this process and this journey with other people. So you are 100 people or so right now watching this. And then if you're watching the recordings later, you've just expanded on that number. So typically, I'd like to ask, what is your purpose today? And maybe have you put it into GoToWebinar, but we're not doing the chat. So think about what your purpose is. Grab a piece of paper and pencil and write it down, because you are going to be writing other things here in a little bit. Marketer mistake. Woo, 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 woo. That was a bad hand motion. I apologize. They don't set a purpose for every action. And I was just as guilty of this for the longest time. And this is probably a good point to share an SEO rockstar story. I used to go to drinks just to party, or go to events just to drink and party. Traffic and conversion, I would spend more time those first couple years laying out on the floor outside of the event room because I was too hungover to go in. SEO rockstars, I don't remember if it was the first, second, or third year. We all went out to a bar right off the boat, and I remember they cut us off from drinking absinthe. I think it's actually because they ran out, not because they actually cut us off. But I remember yelling and screaming at them and threatening that we are SEO professionals. If you don't give us more absinthe, we're going to leave you a bunch of bad reviews and destroy your business. The next year at SEO Rockstars, I found out that company went out of business, and I actually felt a little bad. Note, we didn't leave bad reviews. My point of this is that you have to have a real purpose. The marketer's mantra of going to events just to party isn't going to actually help you build wealth. In the end, when I would go to an event, I would know the exact amount of money that I wanted to make and the time frame at which I wanted to make it. Usually it would be, I want to make $50,000 from this event in 90 days. And if I couldn't do it, I didn't go to the event. So that limited the events that I would go to. But things like SEO Rockstars, traffic and conversion, or anything that the Mavericks and Yannick put on, it was easy to go there and build relationships with people that could be fruitfully monetized for all parties involved. My purpose expanded. I first started teaching wealth building back in the summer of 2017. And these are some of my journal entries along the way as I was trying to, at the same time, kind of define my rules for life that I could share with my daughter. Throughout 2018 and 19, I continued to cultivate that message and process. And in 2019, I became the spokesperson for alternative assets for Equity Trust, which is a $30 billion financial services company, where we would put out a monthly newsletter to their 120,000 customers. And it really gave me insight in the conversations that I had with their team and with investors on what it takes to build wealth. I have sat down with countless billionaires to have conversations with them, people worth hundreds of millions, tens of millions, millions of dollars, and learned from them and applied those actions into my own life. And it's helped me to grow my own personal portfolio and kind of shape the information that I'm giving you tonight. So I hope you find value in it, because my purpose is to help you create wealth while I create wealth at the same time. My journey's not different than most. It's had its ups, it's had its downs. In this beautiful 1988 Pontiac Bonneville here on the left, that was my home in 1994. I was kicked out of the house about a week before my 16th birthday. I lived in the back seat of this car driving without a license. For my entire junior year, I would sleep on friends' floors or go to friends' houses at night to take showers. I sold a lot of drugs out of that car too, so I'm not saying it was all bad, but you're never going to hit me up with your situation being so bad that you can't become a multi-millionaire because of my experience. Friday, April 18th, 2008, that morning was the first time I'd ever received a financial statement from my financial planner that said I was a net asset millionaire. I went out that night to a place called RFD, Regional Food and Drink, with my buddy Danny. I walked in and I hit my fist and I said, I want to buy the most expensive beer that you have. It happened to be $28, and it was a double chocolate stout that came with a cork like a champagne bottle, and it was the most disgusting drink I've ever had. This is not an actual picture from that night. Luckily, during those days, there weren't a lot of cell phones taking pictures to create memories, but that would be our seat, because you could see all the girls coming in from the back of the bar, and then from the front of the bar, they'd have to walk right by you. It's the perfect seat. Fast forward to in the last few months, September 27, 2020, this actually happened again on Friday. We do our personal financial statements, and I have for as long as I can remember, every year around the time we pay taxes. And I remember my wife coming home from the office, because we work swing shifts, and her telling me, like, Roger, did you realize that we hit $10 million this year? I'm like, no, that's cool. What do you want to do? Well, let's go swimming. I do want to add one other date on my journey that's been really significant. I mean, there's hundreds in your life, there's hundreds in mine. But November 23rd, 2014 was the last time I took a drink. So I am now 3 days away from 6 years. And I've had conversations with people in the group area of this event about that journey. And they've shared that this is kind of common for marketers to have substance abuse problems, drug, alcohol, and things like that. We'll talk about my journey just a little bit more in a couple minutes. And I'll share some more insight on that. So I want to ask you a question. How big is yours? Get your mind out of your gutter. I want to know what your number is today. Can you write down on a piece of paper what your net worth is? Write it down. Don't think about it. Just write it. If you don't have anything to write with, or you're sitting there toying around with it in your head, I am going to recommend grab something to write with, or grab and open up the note on your cell phone, because we're going to ask a couple more questions in here in a few minutes that are going to lead to some valuable insight, but you're going to have to play along with me while we do it. Do you even know what your number is? Is it as big as you would like it to be? And if not, what would you like that number to be? Write that down also. All too often, I have conversations with people and boom, marketer mistake. I start to have this conversation with people, and marketers are pretty bad at it. They don't know their net worth today. And that usually means if they don't know it today, they probably don't have a long-term goal of what they want it to be in the future. And it happened just this afternoon talking with someone as they were working through some problems in their business. And you ask them, like, what's your number? What's your goal? They start talking about their monthly income goal or their annual income goal. And I apologize, but that's not going to help you build wealth. That is a survival methodology. And too many people spend their entire lives in survival mode and never step into thrive mode because they don't have a big enough vision to do it. So I'm going to ask you right now, if you already wrote down a number and it was your monthly number or it was your annual number, cross it out and write that big number, that number that you know when you hit it, it means something to you in your life. Before we can get into the fundamentals of wealth building, we have to bust a few myths. So I'm calling this Mythbusters Wealth Edition. Big risks equals big reward. That's not true, but it's also not the right approach for building wealth. High-paying jobs equal wealth. This is absolutely the case. So many people assume that because someone is a doctor or because they are a lawyer or because they're in finance, that they're wealthy. They live in the huge house. They drive the nicest cars. Well, you know what? Most of those people are net asset broke. They're spending every penny that comes in is going right back out the door so they can live a specific lifestyle. Now, marketers are pretty bad at that too. Some of them are able to transcend that mental situation and actually build wealth, but you drive through the nice wave neighborhoods thinking that those people are wealthy. It's not usually the case. Wealth comes without work. We should all be smart enough to know that at some point you're going to have to put in some work. That's often why people that win the lottery or hit it big end up broke again, is because they don't put in the work to keep the money or grow the money. Wealth is purely for the lucky. When I started making money in my 20s and really into my early 30s, and I would meet with old high school friends or kids that I hung out with in the military, I hear that a lot. Man, you're lucky. How did you get so lucky? They don't take into account the year living out of my own car, the 5 years in the military, the 5 years getting 2 bachelor's degrees, the multiple failed businesses, all of the things that every person watching this has gone through as well in order to make that success. It's not about luck. Luck helps, but if you're not working your butt off to get there, luck's not going to carry you. You need to be born into it. Well, I definitely wasn't born into it. I was born into a blue collar. My dad was a hardworking guy, blue collar family, lower middle class. I had to fight and scrape for everything. I had to leave home to have any chance of building wealth. And I did it. So you don't have to be born into it. And your situation or circumstances are what is stopping you. That's not true either. I'm going to make a bold statement, and people can, I don't think there'll be any backlash because it's true. If you were born in America, the United States, and you are a white male, and you are not a millionaire, you're either lazy or you're just not trying, which is kind of being lazy too. If you were born in the United States and you're a woman or a minority, you have a great chance. It's going to be harder on you. And if the world's telling you it's not, they're lying to you, it is going to be a little bit harder on you, but you can make it too. Now, if you're someplace else in the world, I don't know the specific economics of where you are, but if you truly try and you truly stay focused, you can reach it. And I want to give you the tools to be able to do that tonight. We do have to discuss this. This is a term that I don't see being used anywhere else. It's my personal term. If you don't believe in it, you're only arguing with me, and I'm not going to argue with you. So I call it the flaw fallacy, and it applies to every aspect of life. Every individual has a prominent flaw that stops them from achieving desired outcomes. I bet you a couple of you just thought in your head, oh yeah, I do that. And well, if you can acknowledge it, you're actually better off than 90% of the people that are out there, because acknowledging it is the first step in overcoming it. Every relationship that you have with a partner, whether it be business or personal, has a flaw. Successful relationships are the ones that can overcome that flaw and not be drawn down or drawn into it. Your wealth building journey will be no different. The sooner you identify and deal with your flaw, the faster you'll build wealth. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Why do people fail to build wealth? Well, they have a fatal flaw. It's like an undiagnosed disease. And I apologize. I thought I took all the animation out of this proposal, so I must have missed the slide. This disease eats away at them day after day, year after year. Most people are totally unaware of it. They spend their entire life trying to fight against it. And marketers are no different. They are great at making money. There are very few industries where people can go out and make $1 million in a day. The problem with marketers, they don't know how to keep any of it. It's an endless circle that they're mostly oblivious to. We need to fix that tonight. Now, this and every other presentation, there will be exceptions to the rule. When I start to have a conversation with someone about wealth and I start to work with them on defining their number and all of the elements that come behind building to that number, I always hear things like, well, Warren Buffett or Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk, but you're not one of those people. Don't focus in on the 0.001%. Focus in on the strategy that will get the majority of people who implement it to their ultimate goal. That's what we're gonna light out. My journey was not a straight line. I was broke. I was a millionaire by the age of 29, and then I was nearly broke again by 35. Now, drugs, alcohol, partying, that played a lot into it, a lot of taking big risk for big reward, and just being really stupid about everything that I was doing. Now I'm 42, and my wife and I have a net asset value of $10 million. So what changed? What I figured out starting in 2017 through teaching and working with thousands of individuals on wealth creation is that wealth building is not one size fits all. Any person that lays out a strategy and says, do exactly this, and it's a straight line to wealth, is lying to themselves, not necessarily to you. So what we're gonna do tonight, I've defined four unique wealth personas. And based on your persona, they each have distinct characteristics. They each have their own potential probability of achieving wealth. Some have a higher likelihood than others. And when you know your persona, you can decipher your flaws. When you know your flaws, you can change your habits. And by changing your habits, you can increase your likelihood of achieving wealth. Wealth building is not one size fits all. If you have an opportunity real quick to go and download the Wealth Persona Worksheet, or just grab a piece of paper and write down your answers, we're gonna go through 10 questions. They're multiple choice. There's four options for each question. All you really need to do is keep track of the number of each that you get. So the number of A's, the number of B's, the number of C's, and the number of D's. I try to make it as simple as possible for this presentation. I am going to warn you, I practiced this presentation quite a few times. And anytime that I did it without reading the questions off of the test that's coming up or the survey that's coming up, it was very quiet and got very boring. And I got very tired and I got bored and I started thinking about squirrels. And we're just not going to let that happen. So the first trait we're going to talk about is time. Read the slide and figure out if you are A, B, C, or D. And again, you don't need to keep score by question. Just create four little boxes, A, B, C, D, and put a little line in each one each time you get one. Time. I work when I want and play when I want. I put in my 40 to 60 hours a week and then spend the rest of my time relaxing and enjoying life. I'll pull an all-nighter if needed. I see my use of time today as an investment in my future. I block my time off in chunks and do my best to stick to that allocation. Now, I can't dive into any of these individually without skewing your response, but just try to pick the one that most closely fits your persona. And I'm sorry, the timer should be running, so I know to stay on each slide 30 seconds. Okay, we're going to the next one. And again, if for any reason you don't keep up or you miss a question, the link that was there earlier will give you access to all of the questions. Spending. I don't believe in budgets. I spend how I want, when I want, and figure everything else out later. I keep a budget and stick to it most of the time. I'll make large purchases to motivate myself to go out and earn more money. I live well below my means by design. Be as honest with yourself as you possibly can. Investing. I never have enough money left over after living expenses to invest. I have a 401k or an IRA, and I contribute as much to it as I can each year. I like to make big short-term moves so I can earn big rewards. I invest first and figure out what I have left over to live off of. I almost should have put the Jeopardy music on. I don't even remember what the Jeopardy music is. And next one. Debt. I have more debt than, well, that should be that, than I can pay off today. That means you have negative assets. I use credit cards and carry debt for my personal everyday expenses. I use debt to help build my wealth, leverage. My only debt is from purchases of capital assets, like real estate or equipment for my business. And I could add in here like inventory for e-commerce. That would be acceptable if you're using debt to do that, as long as you're not doing the other things. One thing. So there's a book called One Thing by Gary Keller, one of my favorite books. The one thing really defines your focus in life, that primary skill set that you apply in life in order to make money or to live, and the different ways that one thing could be applied. I trade my time for income as an hourly non-skilled worker. Someone else directs my efforts, which is typically a salary non-owner. I have multiple skills I use to drive my income. I'll go where the money is. I have a core skill that I've stuck with for years and continue to find new ways to drive income from that skill. Again, I can't dive too much into these without skewing the way that you would respond. So do your best on this. And at the end, I've also got a slide on a bunch of books that I would recommend. The One Thing by Gary Keller is definitely on that list. Risk. I don't take risks with money because I have none. I keep it simple and put my extra money into a savings account or mutual funds, maybe an ETF if I'm feeling frisky. I embrace risk and take big risks all the time. My motto is no risk equals no reward. I avoid unnecessary risk and live by a slow and steady long-term growth plan. 10 seconds. Nobody wants to hear me sing. Friends. I have a social group that I like to hang out with. We gossip, complain about work, our kids, our significant others. I have a small group of family and friends that I spend time with. Always small talk, weather, sports, or last vacation. Most of my friends are industry friends. When we get together, we party and talk about how we'll make money. I have a small, tight group. We never talk about money. You'll catch us having dinners, talking politics and religion without wanting to kill each other. Fame. I follow influencers online and dream about being one, or at least living the life of one. I don't seek fame. I have my social media profiles and try to stay connected. I'm actively working to become an influencer. I put effort into increasing followers and engagement. I am not on social media or see little value in it, meaning you could be on there. And I know a lot of people that have checked out. Vision. I live paycheck to paycheck just to pay my bills. I have a monthly budget that dictates my life. I don't have a lot of room for big vision strategy. I am pushing hard to get all I can now. I move slow and steady, knowing that I'm building something big. Almost done. Legacy. What's a legacy? I'm saving for retirement. That's about it. I want to leave a mark on this world. I will be remembered. I'm building wealth for 2 to 3 generations from now. It's kind of a shorter one, so we'll have a little bit extra time. So that is the last question. Hopefully you've done your tallies. I'd love for people to be in chat and say, hey, I'm this. All right. So tally up your scores for each, A, B, C, and D. Remember, there is no wrong answer. This exercise is to help you understand your potential wealth building capability. So which one do you have the most of? Circle it, please. Is it A, B, C, or D? All right, so here is the definition of those wealth building personas. If you ended up in A, you are a spender. You're living your life and there's nothing wrong with that. You'll likely never accumulate wealth and you're typically ignorant to that fact. I don't know that we'll have a lot of spenders out here, especially those that are willing to commit to a high level conference like this, but if you are one, don't fret. We'll talk a little bit more in a second. B is the non-seeker. You're not looking to become wealthy. That is something that other people do. You could, with a few small changes to your vision, change course if you move early enough in life. The hunter. You are aggressively seeking wealth now. You have a lower probability than a gardener, which gives away what the next one is. But if you do hit it, you'll likely hit it big. There's a lot of marketers that are hunters. The gardener. You're using a time-proven model. It takes discipline and sacrifice. You have a high probability of hitting your number, but it'll be later in life than a hunter if they even make it. I do have to put this in. This is a survey that's usually done in a randomized manner. By not randomizing the questions, there can be some answering bias, meaning you might start to trend like, oh, I've gone C, 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 C. So for the sake of the presentation, that was really the only way that we could do it. But you have to understand that people may lie to themselves about what decision they would make given those questions, but they can't lie about the results. And the reason I say that is if you came up with a spender and as a spender and you don't believe that you are one, but you're broke, don't really need to say anything beyond that. What you need to know if you're a spender or a non-seeker. If the description from the last slide fits you and you're okay with it, then rock on. There is nothing wrong with it. If you don't agree with the description, go back and review the questions and ask yourself if you're truly aligned with your goals. If you don't like the outcome and want to change your outlook, take a look at the other personas to see what you might need to make adjustments. And if you want to chat about how to reshape your persona, text me. Again, that's my personal cell phone number. Give me a text or email me. I do want to help. In fact, my phone number is at the bottom of every slide if you ever come across a question. What you need to know if you're a hunter, you are most likely to make it big. You are also most likely to crash and burn. It is a much more stressful life. You may struggle with personal relationships. You are most likely to make it big in spite of how you spend or live. And hunters are usually in their 20s or 30s or pre-children. So we can flip this a little bit. There are plenty of people that I know that are extremely successful hunters in their 50s and 60s. Typically, that means that their children are already out of the home or they may have chosen not to have children. Again, this is not an absolute. This is based on the statistical data we have from the numbers of times that the survey's been run and the conversations that we've had with individuals. The defined personas fit this type of persona. What you need to know if you're a gardener. Wealth is almost guaranteed if you stick with it. Things will often take longer than you like. You'll often regret risks you didn't take. You're unlikely to lose it all at any point where a hunter can. I've been there. I had the million. I lost the million. You'll typically have healthier personal relationships. The person that's willing to invest time into making money slowly is often willing to invest time into building strong relationships. Those that embrace this persona in their 40s or 50s typically wish they would have done it sooner. Now we're going to create our wealth plan. We know our persona. We're going to do in one slide, we're going to create our wealth plan. And then the rest of the presentation, we're going to actually talk about the strategies that are used to build wealth, the rules to build wealth, my personal rules and the tools that you need in order to accomplish that goal. So I appreciate you sticking with me, going through that and defining what your persona is, because in a minute, we'll be able to work with it a little bit more. You can download the wealth worksheet at rcbryan.com/wealth worksheet, or hopefully they'll share these documents somewhere in all of this. This is what the wealth worksheet looks like. Again, because these documents are designed so that somebody can do this completely on their own, this is going to be a little wordy, but we're going to go through it together. Start with the first two items at the bottom. What is your persona type? Write it in. You're either a spender, a non-seeker, a hunter, or a gardener. What are your net assets today? If you don't know the exact number and you don't do a personal financial statement every year that gives you that number, one, start doing it. Two, write it down. Now we're going to go to the top and work our way down. What is your net worth goal? What is that big number? That number that you know means you made it, whatever your own personal definition is. Notice at no time in this presentation did I say that this is for seven-figure people or eight-figure or nine-figure or six-figure. Six figures for some people would mean a change in their world like they've never seen. So it's about your own personal goal. What is the date you want to reach that goal? For example, I will give you one piece of personal information on my own. My goal, it ends in the year 2040. So I know at 2040, I'll be 62. And I have a goal for that. So it can be a year. What I don't want to see are short-term goals on here. This is not about short-term goals. I don't want my net worth goal is $1 million in 1 year. I don't want is $50,000 a month. There's a reason why for that that we'll talk about on the next slide. How many years do you have? And what is that one thing you're going to do to reach that goal? Hey, I'm getting texts. We talked about the one thing earlier. And if you can't fit it in the box, it's kind of, you're kind of overdoing it. You're talking about too much. I might put in that box that my one thing is selling online. That's very broad, but that's okay because that's what I do. I sell in an e-commerce business. I generate leads for the companies that I'm the chief revenue officer for. I help build sales teams to help them close those leads. My skills all fall around selling something online. One of the most important parts of any wealth journey is the mastermind. And I'm not necessarily talking about the digital marketer style mastermind, although in many cases that's not, it's not a critique of that style. I'm more talking about the Napoleon Hill, bringing together a group of like-minded individuals, either through an industry connection or through a geographical connection, in order for people to have a platform in which to share their thoughts, their dreams, their goals, their problems, and have other people that have experience in that space work with them. Before you go out and find the right mastermind, ask yourself, what do you have to offer the group? Dory mentioned, Perry mentioned this, and I talked about this with a couple other people. You go back to 2010 to the masterminds that we were in back then, where everyone shared everything. It was no holds bar. There were some of the most amazing events that I'd ever gone to and learned so many things and built such great relationships. You fast forward today, now everybody's a little bit more close to the cuff. They don't want to share too much. That's probably because people have been ripped off numerous times, and I don't blame them. It's happened to me as well. But what do you have to offer the group? Again, keep it simple. A sentence or two. And what do you want to receive from the group? If you know what your wealth goal is and the time frame you want to reach it, you know where you are today, you can start to create that process or that model of what it's going to take to close that gap. How can the mastermind help you to do that? Then you need to go out and find a mastermind. One piece of advice on masterminds: it's not about finding the most expensive one you can afford. In fact, the best masterminds aren't even about how much money they cost. They're about the barrier to entry into that group. If you want to be a member of War Room, you have to have a certain level of revenue or be really close to it, or they have to see a lot of potential in you. Not just everyone can get into that. And there are plenty of other masterminds like that. To become a maverick, the whole group has to vote on you. And if you get blackballed, there's a high likelihood that you're not getting in. Those are the types of groups that people seek out. That exclusivity isn't just there to make you want it. It's because it's worth it. I talked about the number of years that it takes to get there. Anything less than 5 years, you're not giving yourself enough horizon, enough time to really build a real machine that will help you to build wealth. Now, if you're later in life and you don't want to think about 5 years from now, then maybe this wealth building journey isn't necessarily for you, which is okay. But I have done a lot of research and I've done a lot of self-examination and I've talked to a lot of individuals. And 5 years seems to be the number of years that most individuals take to really mature into a space. One of my mentors, when I was living in Washington, D.C., and I was starting my first real company, told me that it takes at least 2 years for you to get up and running in anything that you're doing. So if it takes 2 years for you to get up and running, how many more years is it going to take for you to reach full speed? My epics are usually in about 7 years. If I can stay with it through the first two, the third, the fourth, the fifth, it really starts to hum. I get the right teams in place. The money starts to flow. And by the seventh, I'm thinking about exits. I've had seven-figure startups and three exits. And almost every one of them, except for one, has followed along with this methodology. So what is an epic? I like to call it an adventure you will embark on. It can be a project, it can be a client, it can be a product. There's so many different ways that you can define an epic. This time frame, when chunked down like this, is going to give you a higher probability of reaching your number because it's going to lower the stress on when you have to accomplish certain things. It's also the mind's way of keeping you motivated along your journey. Embrace it, don't fight it. Marketer mistake. Getting a marketer to commit to anything for 5 years is not likely. They like to jump from project to project, from hack to hack, from tool to tool, always searching for the holy grail, never figuring out the consistency is the holy grail. Few things to remember. You are in control. You are not stuck in any one persona. It's never too late to change. I'm here to help. Text me or email me. All right, let's go through Roger's 10 Rules for Wealth, the Marketer's Edition. Set a goal. We just worked on that a minute ago. Once you have your big picture goal, set your 5-year epic goal and go to work. Have a purpose. I talked earlier in the presentation. Every action has a purpose. Every presentation you do has a purpose. Every event you go to has a purpose. Every client you take on has a purpose. Have a purpose in everything you do in life, and life will be much more enjoyable. Focus on one thing. If you've never read the book, One Thing, I highly recommend getting a copy of it. Define your one thing and really stick to it. Check your ego. If I was to trace back what happened between being worth $1 million, selling my company, and then being almost broke again, ego would be the number one thing that really, really hurt me for a couple of years. I got involved with the wrong people, learned the wrong traits, and it was a kick in the, you know what, trying to fight my way back out of that. Be consistent. Consistency is the holy grail in wealth creation. Invest first. This is often a hard thing for, well, it's nearly impossible for spenders. It's not easy for non-seekers. Hunters try to do this, but they usually do it in a high-risk manner. Gardeners are great at this. Myself, personally, if I do any consulting or if I do any agency work anymore, I'm primarily just trying to generate money that I can invest because I know that's where my wealth is created. It's not in the earning of the money. It's in the application of that money once it's been earned. Fail fast. You are going to fail a lot. I have failed quite a bit. My software company that Dory mentioned, I spent over $1 million developing that platform and it doesn't exist today. I just totally screwed the pooch. Back in the first quarter of 2018, I lost $786,000. It's 341 if you want me to go all the way out. That number's in my brain. In 4 months with bad investments. Learn when you're failing and cut the cord and move on fast. Recurring cash flow. To me, recurring cash flow is capital assets like real estate. For you, it could be an evergreen product, or for marketers, I apologize, it could be an evergreen product or something else that doesn't require continued effort that will go on for years to come, not just months. If you have to worry about waking up tomorrow and it being gone, it's not a recurring cash flow asset. Own the playing field. When I talked about my portfolio or my wife and I's portfolio earlier, I showed all of those brand names, companies, corporations, trade names that we own. We own those. We're building the assets that lead to our wealth. It's not that we're building someone else's wealth and they're paying us for that. We're building our own wealth, so own the playing field. And time is more valuable than money. It's hard to accept that when you're broke. It's hard to accept that in a pandemic where everyone's retainer revenue is falling. I had a great conversation with the guys from NFG after their session, and the idea of vertical and horizontal integration and building out assets that'll be around a lot longer than your retainer revenue will be. They're spot on with that. That's exactly what you need to be thinking about doing. As I've worked my way out of agency work and I've given up those revenue streams, I'm truly blessed to have committed myself to hard work on our e-commerce business, which has tripled this year during the pandemic. And I'm now making 3 times more in the e-commerce business than I was making off of my retainers. And I do 1/10 of the work. Time is more valuable than money. Here are a few recommended tools. Download the slides, take a screenshot of this, grab your phone, snap a picture. These 14 books, there was at least one thing from each of these books in this presentation. They've been a guiding force in my development of this overall methodology. They're a guiding force in the 10 rules that I want to create for my daughter in order for her to have an easier life. I would highly recommend every single one of these books. We've only got a few minutes here, and luckily we're right on schedule, so I'm going to go into one more slide. I left this slide in here if we have some extra time. I cut a lot of stuff out of this. For example, I mentioned earlier that certain personas will have better times in personal relationships. Well, we've created a personal relationship and a personal wealth matrix based on your partner's wealth persona that shows the probability of both success in the relationship and success in building wealth based on the two relationship types. We didn't have time to go over that. What I want to do is I want to give you some of my personal wealth building strategies that aren't these blanket items that are more broadly applied. So transcendental meditation has been huge in my life. I meditate twice a day, each time for 20 minutes. I use vitamin D and B12 injections. I shot myself in the leg this morning with vitamin D, rotating each week between the two to keep my energy levels up and to keep my immune system humming. Both my wife and I max out our retirement plans. SEP, simple Roth, solo, including Claire. Yes, my 2.5-year-old has a Roth IRA. Dependent upon your income level and your business structure, there are different types of instruments that are available for you. And is any the instrument that you can take that gives you a long-term growth tax advantage, you have to max it out every year or you're just giving up wealth in the long term. We live well below our means, leaving more money to invest in our companies or in other companies. I will never shy away from the fact that our house costs $350,000. Now we're in Ohio, so that's actually still kind of a beautiful house. We could be living in a $1 million house, but I don't want to be paying the taxes on that when that exact amount of money can help go towards Claire's 529, Claire's Roth IRA, all of our different retirement. This summer, we bought a toy company that went bankrupt. So we had 1,000 pallets of inventory we needed to sell, and we're making 8-fold on our money. If I didn't have all that cash sitting around or the ability to liquidate other things to get cash, if it was stuck in my house, I would be a doctor, I would be a lawyer, I would be someone in finance that spends more money than they make. Pick the right life partner. I wouldn't be where I am without my wife, Krista, today. I failed a lot, but I keep moving. You need to do the same. I don't talk about what I'm going to do. I only talk about what I'm doing. Too many conversations with marketers are about their next idea or how they might pitch this next client or how they might change this next agreement. I go tone deaf when people talk to me about what they're going to do, unless I know them and they have a personal track record of planning something big. Talk to me about what you're doing. I try to talk about only what I'm doing. I wake up every day thinking that I'm broke, knowing that I need to make money today. I am constantly checking the sales in our e-commerce business, knowing the margins in my head, knowing about how much revenue I have in the bank so that I know what my net new cash flow is to help me build wealth. Wealth comes from the focus of energy over an extended period of time. If you spend all of your time chasing hacks, you'll never spend time building wealth. I've been there. I've created a lot of hacks. Hacks can be fun, but they don't put money into the bank for the long term. All right, I told you at the beginning, my next book is coming out. This will be my fifth book. My last book, Data-Driven Marketing, has sold over 10,000 copies. If you are interested in getting a free copy of this book when it comes out, there are a lot of authors that contributed to this book from companies like Zentail, OMG, Local Viking, SEM Rush, just lots of great content from people that will really help you to move the needle in any campaign within 90 days if you're doing local SEO. All right, that is it. If you have any questions, I feel like they're gonna turn me over and I was off by 1 minute on getting this all through, which is awesome. That is my personal cell phone number. Text me with any questions you have at any time. Email me with questions and I just wanna chat with you about helping you improve your wealth journey. I appreciate you guys all. Peace.